I told you guys, I creeped you guys out when I met you, and I said that me and my wife had sex to Slow Ready. And you guys were like, very nice to meet you, Mrs. Kreiser.
Yo, Philly, we're coming with the Tops Off World Tour November 29th, and I'm bringing DJ Jazzy Jeff to Philadelphia, then Norfolk, Winston-Salem, Fairfax, Roanoke, Rochester, Worcester, Newark, Providence, and Albany, New York, December 10th.
Come on in, anybody. That's the cool part of a jam band is like you weave your way in and out of things you know, things you don't know. And it's like a discovery all in the moment. I got to introduce that to my daughters and it was fucking badass. Come on in, motherfucker.
What's up? What's up?
God damn, are you wearing a wig or did you grow your hair out?
Jesus Christ.
I'm wearing a wig.
Yeah.
This is fake.
Please sit down. We're talking about fish.
Okay.
And if you had to describe fish in one word, how would you describe them?
Fun.
Fun. I said smiley.
Yeah, smiley, fun.
Yeah, I give a, please sit down.
All right.
Please. We're going around the room. We're trying to describe fish in one word. He said fun, I said smiley.
Like, oh man, one word, that's so tough. Smiley, circus.
Yeah.
Circus is good.
Well, thank you guys for coming. Congratulations on 2 sold out shows at Red Rocks.
Thank you.
Really, really fucking impressive. I don't usually interview a lot of people, and I'm not the best interviewer. So I'm going to try to say as organic as possible. When do you guys feel like things changed for you? Because right now, I feel like Goose is on the tip of everyone's tongue. But I know you guys have had kind of, and my Leanne said this today. She goes, you know what I like about them? They ain't on the radio. Them, all the good bands ain't on the radio. Wilco, them, Widespread Panic. I mean, I like that. You should ask them that. But when did things start turning a corner for you where you guys were like, oh, fuck, we're going to need another tour. We're doing multiples at Red Rocks. When did that happen?
Originally, it was pretty clear cut originally, 2019. Because prior to that, we were kind of just running around playing small clubs and sometimes there'd be, you know, 30 people there. Sometimes there'd be 4. There's a lot of that for a few years. But then in 2019, it was just kind of like it kind of just reached this tipping point. And then there were a couple festival sets that kind of spread quickly. And it's just kind of been building since then.
Are you guys all collectively artsy dudes?
Yeah, I'd say.
In different ways, I'd say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, because I know that I have a company that I run, or my wife really runs, but I'm a little bit of a micromanager and I want things to look like I want it to look like. I know what I want. And you guys are collectively so different. I mean, and this is just from the outside looking in, but so different, but yet you guys gel so well. I was wondering, like, what's the struggle with dudes that are all very elevated at their game on their instruments and creatively? Like, is there like a struggle in the artsiness in a weird way of asking that?
I think we love and fight with each other like brothers.
Really?
Yeah, there's a lot, you know, like everyone's got their own background of music and, you know, it kind of like creates some cool, you know, stuff within like what we play, you know.
Yeah.
I think it's just like melding of the influences.
So then walk me through a song and I'm going to, if you can.
Sure.
Because Turned Clouds was the song. Was that it? That's the song that got me. I was like, oh, this is badass. And then when you guys released Drip Field, it fucked me up. But my Turn song was So Ready.
Right.
That was that song is so fucking good in like in such a fucking massive way that is my entry level to people. I go, play this. Trust me. This is the song that'll get you to understand the band because you guys are so rich. You have a hint of Widespread, a hint of Fish, but a hint of Steely Dan, a hint of jazz and funk. And there's like a culture to you. Like but how do you write a song like that? Like that, that's my song. I'm curious, creatively, how does a band get together and come up with that song?
How'd you do it, Rich?
it's tough to say. It started years ago. There's a homie that we have from back in Connecticut. Shout out to Jeff Emborg.
Oh my God.
Right? And it was kind of originally inspired by him in a way. I was at this rehearsal for this like other band, was playing a gig or something, and he was just like messing around on a synth. He's just like a character, this guy, and he started doing this thing, and I was just like his vibe with his synth and everything. It kind of just like this like so ready for this kind of just popped into my head, and it was just like very like kind of comical sexual vibe going on, and then it just kind of like wrote it from there.
And how do you guys take like a transition in a song? You guys are so good at that. And I, this is so bro-y of me, but the first person that we ever saw do it of my generation was Dave Matthews, to take a song and switch directions. And you guys do that so well on fucking in music, where you allow it is integrally what makes up a jam band, is that you force the audience to ride with you. And what is that integral to the way you write music? The way you enjoy music?
I have a sister who's 10 years older than me, and she, when she was in high school, she listened to a ton of Dave Matthews. So I was like 3 years old in the car while she was, listening to Dave Matthews constantly, live stuff. And it, for a long time, it didn't really do anything for me. And then finally it kind of clicked. So that music actually seeped in at a very young age for me. But all this stuff is just kind of, I don't know, it's just kind of in there. It was just the language that growing up in the Northeast, jam band shows, that was the cool thing to do.
That is a Northeast vibe.
It is definitely the vibe.
That's almost authentically, like Phish kind of stamped it and was like, yo, this is what we do up here.
Yeah.
Right.
We're not fucking stupid. We like music, and we're not going to like the music you like. We're going to make our own shit.
Yeah. They're definitely intelligent.
Yeah. Well, you're like, one of the dudes, I'm in the hotel that all your fans are at. And one of the dudes is like, you gotta ask Rick, like, what's his parents were like really good parents. And I was like, huh? And they're like, yeah, like they're the reason he's like, cause they like really supported him. And I was like, right. And gave him like positive reinforcement. And I was like, what? And they're like, he was a Hare Krishna. I was like, huh? And so, yeah.
Not directly related, but yeah. My parents rule. They were incredible.
Do you realize no one in a band's supposed to say that, right?
Really?
You're supposed to be like, oh, it's really hard. Suck. It's the reason I write music.
Yeah, we all got our shit, but they were awesome.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And you grew up in the Northeast as well?
Yeah.
And everyone's from Connecticut.
I'm from Boston. Jeff is from Ohio and Florida. We both met Rick separately at school.
Really?
Yeah.
And so how did the band start? The band started with you two and Trevor, right?
Yeah, it's Trevor and I just like started. So there was a band that preceded Goose called Vesudo. And that was like it only lasted a year and a half, but it was a really formative experience for a lot of us. There's another guy that I started that band with named Matt Campbell, who... him and I have written a lot of songs together, and we still do. A lot of the songs we started playing last year, we started writing in again together. So that band kind of was like a pretty formative experience. And then we went our separate ways, and it was kind of a tumultuous thing. And I actually moved out here for a year.
Colorado.
I lived in Fort Collins for like a year. And during that time I was getting messages from John and Trevor, like, dude, come on. What do we got? Like, let's do it. We got to do it. And so I started flying back every like once a month or something. We started playing bars as Goose.
Really? Why Goose?
I was working at a taco place in Fort Collins, and it was like kitchen lingo there. It was like a dumb thing that was said all the time, and I thought it was really funny. And now I don't think it's funny anymore. But like, it's still, I can't believe it's still. I can't believe it's stuck.
Yeah, you're telling the machine. I gave myself a nickname 25, 30 years ago.
Rick wanted to change his name for so long.
There was many times. Things are starting to like come together. We should probably get a real band name, and it just never happened.
Oh, I love Goose.
Yeah.
It was almost Maverick, just so you know.
That was, yeah. there was a moment.
When I was in first grade, I tried to change my name to Flash, and I'm really glad I didn't. Yeah. Goose is such a great fucking band name.
It stuck.
Yeah.
It stuck for a reason.
And so then you just went back and forth and then decided to stay?
Yeah, I came back and went back to school, finished school. And during that time, we were just like playing bars around Connecticut, really. And then when I finished school, we got a booking agent and started hitting the road and have went through a handful of lineup changes and kind of were just honing from there.
It seems like such a meshy band. What is...
Things were meshy, yeah.
It seems like, no, it seems like...
It was a mesh.
Yeah, it was a mesh. What was the first song where you were like, oh, we're moving in the right direction? Like
the first song?
Like where you guys jammed together and you're like, oh, fuck, this is kind of... This is like, maybe you wrote it or maybe it was the song that you guys were like, and I can only speak from my band experience, but for my band, they played a U2 song that I was unfamiliar with. And I walked in the room, not knowing it was a U2 song as the lead singer. And I went, this is good. And they were like, really? And I thought I had a moment where I was like, we're going to be huge. They were playing a U2 song. And I was like, someone record this. We're about to be the biggest band in the world. And they're like, write lyrics. And so I wrote lyrics to a U2 song, not knowing it was a U2 song. Fucking uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like,
Have you sent the lyrics to Bono for like an alternate?
No, I don't think he needs them. Mine was a little sister. I just was with one of the band members like a week ago, and he was like, dude, why don't you sing Little Sister? But what was like the time where you guys were like, you're like, yo, this is like, you know, when you fall in love. I'm assuming that happens in a band.
Well, we had a first jam with Peter. I don't even remember what we played, but the first time we had Peter over to see if he was going to be the guy.
Yeah.
I don't remember what we played at all, but I remember just like us looking around being like, yes, this is it.
Peter is, I have to say, I want to, this is my impression. I'll do the impression of the three of you guys. Okay. Oh, man. I said it to Leanne. I was taking a shower today. She goes, where do you think they go to eat? And I went, Peter is the one that goes, I'm up for Nepalese food.
Solid.
And Ben goes, I could eat whatever. And Rick goes, do they have tea? And Leanne goes, I bet that's where they are.
It's not far off.
Really?
Yeah. Oh my God. Awesome.
Yeah, you guys have you're so different. And then Trevor is like the one my daughter Isla was obsessed with. Because he just stands there in a fucking
He's majestic.
Yeah, he's majestic.
He's like a majestical
creature.
Yeah.
But what was it when you play with Peter, you're like, okay, this is
there was definitely that jam like had a major impression on me too.
Really?
Like it was sick. And I think Rick has like a voice memo recording of it, and that's the only
existence of it. Like there are lots of moments like that. But it didn't feel like, oh, this is our song. It was kind of like a very long hone. Like there were many years of like trying to sort it out and find it.
You know?
Yeah, I feel like we're still on that, you know?
Oh, you guys are so in that fucking, that, I mean, and you know, it's interesting because I know Peter is kind of a little bit of the marketer. I say that's like kind of a slur these days to be ambitious. But it should be known that Kurt Cobain was notoriously aggressively ambitious with marketing.
You have to be.
You have to be. Right. And people like to, and listen, trust me, my best friends in the world are anti-marketing, anti-promo, anti-social media. But if you don't have someone in that group going, yo, man, I'm proud of what the fuck I do. Right. Check my shit out. Then you're a tree in the woods. Right. And like, I'm downstairs. I'll tell you the app. They're like, dude, fuck Nugs. You need to get on. I just downloaded it yesterday. They're like, Peter always uploads to this.
Bandcamp.
That's fucking right. Bandcamp. Yeah. And I was like, really? I learned more about this band hanging out at that fucking hotel.
Yeah.
And I also got a felonies amount of LSD. But I got, and if you guys want it, I can give it to you. You can take it with you. We don't know what to do with fucking 1,000 microdoses. But by the way, we have a ton of weed. We have some kettlebells. You should see what we tour with. I'm dying to see what you tour with. We'll talk about that in a second.
Yeah, sure.
But I love that you guys, there is a connected to what, to how to talk to your fans.
Yeah.
And your fans are fucking obsessive. And when I find a very small concentric circle of my fans that are Goose fans, it is fucking the coolest people. That is the ones you want. The fucking, cool dudes in like a nice truck with a hot chick, and he's got a beard and he smokes weed, and he's like, and he's got some frisbees in the back, and he's like, dude, what the fuck? Oh my God. Dude, have you listened to Bandcamp yet? Dude, oh no, no. Dude, they shouted you out last night. You gotta, like, it was crazy. This morning I couldn't get out of the hotel. I talked to everyone. But I do love that you're connected with us fans.
Yeah.
That, like, dude, I got done in Chicago and they're like, you gotta listen to Nugs. I'm like, huh? And they're like, dude, all their shows are on Nugs. And now I got every show. Everyone's telling me the Las Vegas show is the show.
Every shit.
I'll tell you what the fans are saying. Have you still listened to Las Vegas? Dude, Vegas is Vegas, but that's the fucking show.
Whoa.
Dude, you're fucking the New York show you did, the two nights, I think at Radio City. Motherfucker. I mean, that's the coolest thing about this band. I wish we could do that as comics. We can't, you know, because we're doing technically the same. We're working on a new hour.
Right.
But is there a part of you that, because Rick, you don't strike me as a guy that's on social media.
Is what? Oh, I've been like.
You made a post recently.
I made a post on Instagram recently.
Yeah.
It's a big deal. Yeah. No, it's very unnatural for me.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And does that work good that it's kind of right up Peter's alley?
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Peter's like, his whole tech world and capturing content, it went hand in hand with us blowing up back in 2019. Those festivals that we made in Depression, it wasn't just the sets that did it, but the next day, Peter had edited a multi-cam HD video, and we were the first band, you know, we were on the bottom of the bill of these festivals, and we were the first band to release any content, and it was all pro HD content. And so that really got us out there in front of people.
That's, give me a Peter. I actually have a Peter right there.
There he is.
So what is that part of your brain?
That was like, I love this music. And before I joined Goose, I was a big fan of Goose. So like joining Goose, I was like, oh my God, we got to start recording, like getting this stuff out there. Cause I was like, I think this music is incredible. These songs are dope. And it was just like, we were playing cool places. Like it just felt like a natural thing to do. And when we had like those big shows, like those festival sets and stuff, it's like, it was like a good way to capitalize on the buzz, you know, of like, oh, did you see that band? Like I'm like the smallest stage there, you know? And then you could have like a video to like go show your friends afterwards. Like it just seemed like the logical thing to do, you know?
It is the logical thing to do.
Yeah. Of like if so you're the smallest band on the festival, you got to like do X, you know, you got to do extra to try and move yourself up, you know?
What bands were on those festivals, if you don't mind me asking? Because I'm curious what bands they paired you with.
I mean, we were like the Peach Fest lineup.
That was
like,
the one that fucking popped you guys, right?
That was big. We were like fourth from the bottom on the lineup. And there was like, you know, that year, I'm pretty sure like during our set was like Green Sky, Bluegrass, and Lettuce, like on to other stages. And then who else played? Like
String Cheese played String that Cheese. Year.
Did Trey play that year too?
I'm not sure. I think Lotus did.
Yeah.
Trey played Peach most years, so probably.
Yeah, I'm sure there was like, there's always an Almond thing. But like, yeah, there was like, Phil Lesh was there, I think.
Yeah, yes.
I'm trying to remember. Yeah, I'm trying to remember. But like, there was big bands on there. Like bands that we look up to, you know? So
it was Schofield was with Phil.
Oh, yeah.
That's crazy. I've said that to my friends before. I said, you know, I'm like, I go, man, if I was as good as you at comedy, I'd be fucking huge. Because I'm a very talented comedian. I will say that. I like, as you say that, I do feel that way about myself, but I definitely promote myself. No one's going to do it for me. Mm. And when you're a single, when you're a single entity, there is a little bit, it's nice because I get to make all the decisions. I don't have to run anything by them. And I'm sure there's times where you're like, dude, we guys should put this out. And you guys are like, ugh. For real?
There was definitely a lot of those times, I think, earlier on, you know, because it was like, we were, I don't know, there's like, there's the artist part of it where you're like, it's hard to just imagine like anything's good enough to put out, you know?
But I have to say this only tethered to the fact that we're talking about marketing and promotion, watching you play, like, you are so authentically an artist. You are fucking touching 9 instruments at any given time. And you're so lost. You're so lost in the moment Like, it's really fun to watch. It's fun to watch all of you guys play.
Yeah.
Everyone's got their own vibe. They really do.
Everyone definitely has their own thing. It's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's cool. What do you guys, what's your tour look like? Because, like, my tour notoriously has been booze, weed, kettlebells, workouts. That's it. Booze?
Not much. Here and there. Like a cocktail here and there.
Yeah, but sometimes cacao ceremonies and tea. Yeah,
we're pretty cacao. We might do like a shot of tequila before a second set or something like that.
Yeah.
Shot?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
I don't recover like I used to. Like 10 years ago, like van and trailer days, I was partying a lot. And now I just can't do it on the road.
Really?
I like the micro. I like the mushrooms.
Yeah, we've got... Oh, we should give you guys some mushrooms to take with you.
I've got...
I bet you guys... Hey, do you guys get given drugs a lot? This episode is brought to you by Eufy Video Lock. Eufy is a smart lock with 2K cam and doorbell that's a 3-in-1 triple security, so you can have everything in one device rather than install many pieces on your front door. It's not just for security, but it's also for convenience. No more concerns about losing keys. You can assign passwords to your family members and see them coming back home via the integrated camera. It's easy to install and set up with just a Phillips screwdriver. It's got keyless entry, so no more fumbling for the keys when your hands are full. It also has a rechargeable battery that could last around 4 months, and you'll get low battery notifications before it runs out. Passcode unlocking with a remote control with 2K clear sight to see who's at your front door and control from anywhere through the app. And with enhanced night vision, you can have optimized view even in the evening. No monthly fee, unlike other brands that will charge monthly fee. You have your recordings locally and never have to pay for storage. This is the future. This is everything I love about what's happening with doors. In my opinion, this is an absolute no-brainer. I'm telling you right now, this is an absolute no-brainer. We installed them in the house, and it makes, especially when you have a family, it makes life so easy, so secure, so safe, and once again, so easy. Search Eufy Video Lock. That's EUFY Video Lock. Or visit eufyofficial.com/video lock to see how you can gain complete control of your door. Hey, do you guys get given drugs a lot?
Oh, every day.
Fucking crazy, right? Yeah. It's insane the amount of... We get given felonies worth every... We got given 15 pounds of marijuana in Vegas.
That's excessive.
Do you guys smoke weed?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I don't anymore.
Occasionally.
Occasionally?
Yeah.
I've been smoking a lot. I've been drinking 62 days. I don't know.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, I was a mess when I saw you guys. I was like fucking on the middle of this festival I produce. And I was, I came in hot. I say something. I think Rick said it to me backstage. I've stolen that statement. You said, our green room's your green room. So make yourself comfortable. And I went, hold on. I said, you know what you're saying, right? Because I live in these theaters. So when you say that, I will come back and take a shit in the middle of the show. And you were like, no, our green, hey, have beers, do whatever. Use our bathroom. If you need to go to the bathroom in the middle of the show, come back. This is your green room too. And I went, wow, it's really a freeing statement. When you say that to people, it means, because you don't say it to everyone. You say it to who you want to hang out. And I say that now. And I always credit you guys by saying that. I go, my green room's your green room. Make yourself at home. Make yourself comfortable. Drink everything you can. I'm not going to drink it. I'm not going to eat all this food. And it's a cool thing, but I was a fucking hot mess. I was fucking murdering your beers. I don't think you guys had one.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, but yeah, I haven't drank, but I've been smoking weed like I'm starting a reggae band next week. Yeah.
With Snoop Lion.
Yeah. So a little weed, no sober when you go on stage?
Depends.
Really?
Depends. Yeah.
Yeah. Will you guys day drink? Like
no.
No, okay.
No. Well, like, no.
Like if you guys were like...
Like before a show, you mean?
Yeah, like everyone always tries to get me fucked up before a show. Like I go out anywhere and they're like, dude, let me get you... Oh, dude, margaritas. Let me get you margaritas. And I'm like, I'm good. I want to be on sober when I walk on stage.
Right.
I'm kind of neurotic about that. But you guys are all pretty sober walking on stage?
It's changed over the years. I used to go out on stage so stoned. And now I don't. I'll smoke in the morning on show days and then... I'm sober the whole day, and then the second the show ends, well, I might have a shot of tequila before, but the second the show ends, I'm getting stoned and relaxing that way.
Really?
Because that doesn't mess me up the next day. If I have a couple drinks, I love whiskey, but I'm going to be hungover the whole next day.
Yeah.
And drumming hungover is the worst thing.
Oh, yeah, I bet. you're a little more. What about you?
I mean, definitely won't day drink, but like sometimes have a hit of a joint. Free show.
wait, I gotta tell you, sorry. We were driving through where the fuck were we? Like Indianapolis or something, or Indiana. We were driving back from Colorado, I think. We were playing a show in like Covington, Kentucky, and it was just like this gnarly drive, and we had to drive through the night.
It was a big show for us the next day. I remember. It was
Octave.
It's like early.
So like Trevor was a fucking mule back in the day. He could drive. He did 98% of the driving.
Really?
Unreal. Machine. He was in a different, you know, different way. But anyway, so we're driving through the night and it's like 5 a.m. We get pulled over by these like, you know, statey dudes. And I've never felt like less of a human being. It was pretty wild. I mean, they just did the normal thing. They had some dogs and they're, you know, searched the whole thing. And
yeah, they brought the dog around.
The dogs do the tell. It's such.
When I got the dog sits and you're
yeah,
like, that's
when you. Oh, that was, yeah, you're bringing up some memories for
you
me.
You got arrested?
Yeah.
Wait, hold on. Wait, keep going.
Yeah, so these dudes come out and they're, you know, they got the dogs and the dogs are walking around the thing. And he's like, oh, you did the tail. See, you did the tail. You got the tail. So then they search the whole thing. And
took Trevor into the cop car. And then like,
that's the first person I bring into the cop car for the record.
Yeah, yeah.
That's definitely the first person I bring into the cop car. Cuff him, make sure he's safe.
He was so pissed. But they were looking for weight. We were rolling with a van and trailer and they're like looking for, you know, what do you got? Pounds, ounces, pounds.
Yeah, they were literally like, you got pounds, you got ounces in there. What's in that trailer?
And they're in there like shining the light in our faces. We're all like passed out and, you know, pounds, ounces. And Peter's like, I got a joint in my backpack.
And I was like, damn it, Peter. You should not have said that.
I have a joint in my backpack.
Because I have more than a joint.
I kissed a dude in camp.
They were pissed. They were like, we don't want a joint in this dude's backpack. We want, but yeah, they searched the trailer and they found Ben got arrested.
You got arrested for what?
Yeah, Peter should have shut his mouth, but it's okay.
That was,
wait, what did you get arrested?
That was
for?
Not what well, did you well,
once they had something, then they had like full rights to search us. And yeah. I had definitely more weed than a joint and like a bunch of concentrates, like dabs and stuff.
Oh,
and they,
yeah, how do they prosecute for that? I've always wondered.
They didn't know what they found.
Yeah, I think
if they knew what
lucky,
they found, it would have like, been way worse.
I didn't get cuffed. I got like a court date and like.
So there wasn't one cop going, we found some shatter.
Yeah.
No. If they had fully realized what I had, I probably would have gotten cuffed right then and there. But we were able to get out of it and make it to the gig on time. And I think we played like a pretty cool show.
I don't know.
I definitely felt pretty badass showing up after that.
That's fucking crazy. I love good road stories like that. So do you, and then that was when you guys were in a tour van with something in the back.
Yeah.
And then you guys graduated the bus. Was it all bunks? First bus?
Yeah, we're still on bunks.
Still bunks?
Yeah.
Guys, let me give you my bus for one day.
Sure. Yeah, we'll
bus.
Take it.
Bed in
yeah.
the back?
Mother. Dude, yeah. We'll talk about this off air. I have the perfect goddamn bus in the fucking world. It's for anyone that lives in a bus. If you go into my bus, you go, Gavin Rossdale walked into my bus and he was like, I want this. It's perfect for someone who lives in a tour bus. How much do you guys stay? How often are you on the road?
Pretty often. Yeah. Like we've been on the road, like, well, we've been working this year for like since March, pretty much. It's like some time off in August, but pretty much every other moment has been working,
really?
You know, either touring or studio stuff.
Is it fun?
Yeah, I have fun. I think like right now I've, still feel pretty young, you know? So like, I think our aggressive schedule is still like, I feel like I'm still able to handle it, you know?
Yeah.
But it could be pretty exhausting at certain times. Like this year was definitely, we bit off a lot, I think.
That's the only way to do it though.
Yeah.
You don't want to be the dude going, I wish I had more. I mean, look, I'm the wrong person.
Right.
Because I take bigger bites. The only reason I ever started doing Red Rocks is because I was like, so I was supposed to do it with Jim Jeffries. You know who he is?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very talented dude. And he was having a baby and he backed out. And then they're like, well, fuck, do you want to do it by yourself? And I couldn't move 10,000 tickets at the time. But I was like, I like the challenge. I love the biting off more. I just watched Tom Petty's documentary. Have you seen it?
I haven't. I heard it's good.
It's amazing. Are you guys, I'm curious what your, I would like to know some influences, but not the obvious ones. Like, I'm curious what your deep dives are of like, you go, like Otis Redding. I'm in love with Otis Redding.
Dude, that's so funny. That was like one of the first things that popped in my head when you asked that question.
Really?
Otis Redding, yeah. But just like random artists that have had an impact on me. you know, that's like one of them. But there's so many.
He passed away at like 26, released his one album,
So many songs.
Right.
Like so many impactful songs that other people have done big things with. But he had a big sword, that guy.
Yeah. And he, and his music to this day, even if you try to like, you've seen Jay-Z try to like cover his stuff. They fuck it up. It's better when the way he did it. Mm. I think. I feel like I just got into Elvis.
Elvis, I kind of grew up with Elvis.
For real?
Like, my mom's family is like this big Irish family, and Elvis was just like this thing. I don't know. It's kind of like a funny thing, but also there's a thing in our world where it's like funny, but also epic, you know?
Yeah.
Like a lot of the covers we do fall. It's like a joke, but it's also kind of slaps, you know?
Yeah.
It's like a certain pocket of things that we do, I guess.
Oh, we listened driving back from Vail last night. You got the ooh,
I love,
you know, I told you guys, I creeped you guys out when I met you, and I said that me and my wife had sex to Slow Ready. And you guys were like, very nice to meet you, Mrs. Kreischer. I don't know. And so.
It's like kind of par for the course.
And so, but that was one of the songs that played that night. We were hanging out in Savannah, and we were drinking wine, and we were listening to you guys. And I fucking was like, God damn it, this is a great fucking song. But it is, you're right. Like the song I'm obsessed with Elvis is, well, I've never been to England. You ever heard that?
No, what is that? You know, have you ever heard that record? That's the Way It Is, I think it is. It's like, it's a live record from like right before things really went south for him.
No.
It's hot. It's smoking. Really? Yeah, it's incredible.
I have an obsession with the tragic characters.
Yeah.
I don't know. And I feel like I've kind of walked myself down that path a tad bit because I don't know, there's something sexy about it. You know, Elvis, the craziness, as much as it must have been a nightmare at the time, just there's something sexy to it.
He was like the trial. He was the trial for like the rock star. He was the first one to get just smoked by that existence.
One of the things in comedy, I'm gonna just tether this to comedy because it's what I understand. Sometimes a comic will tell you he likes a joke, and then that joke becomes so good to you. Does that happen in music? Does like I say when you said Trey, I'm assuming that's Trey Anastasio, but like when Trey or Bob Weir or someone who you guys probably look up to is like, dude, I fucking love that song. Does that all of a sudden raise its worth to you, or is it different in music?
Certain songs have like taken on a life with our fan base and stuff that wouldn't have necessarily thought. And
like Elizabeth? Elizabeth is a song, when you guys play that, that's everyone talks to me about that song.
Hell yeah.
Keep going, I'm sorry, I didn't interrupt you. Yeah. Like what songs take on a life of their own?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, like the whole L-Meg thing was always... like that always meant a lot to me in like the time, but I never thought it would connect in this way, you know, that it did at a certain point, I guess. And that's one where I didn't necessarily think that would be the case.
People love that, like the lore of that people love. It's, yeah. And like that song doesn't get played very often too. So it's like, I don't know. It's a really cool special moment when it does happen. I think people really love the lyrics of that one.
Who picks your set lists?
It's a combination of Rick and me. We kind of like, I'll do some like stats.
He does like the password work.
The password stats where we like kind of like write, you know, just check out the past shows in the area and like, oh, or last real? Time at oh, the venue. Yeah, of course.
Stat guy.
Yeah. And then put down a bunch of songs like these are an option. And then Rick will kind of just go in and create the list.
Okay, so then
order.
So then you did.
I like limitation.
You what?
I like limitation. You know, like limitation drives creativity often.
You're right? Speaking my language right now.
Yeah.
Give me parameters, and then I can give you something you like.
Yeah.
Can't if you give me no parameters, you're not gonna like what I give you. So then you look at what you played in Red Rock. Have you played Red Rocks before?
Last year was the first time. Yeah.
Okay, so you played Red Rocks last year, so you're not gonna give them the same show you got last year.
Totally.
You're gonna give them something new. Is there things Are there songs that you go, this would be a badass cover, we should all learn it?
Yeah.
Like, how does the creative process of setting up a set list and then finding a banger that is like almost a cover? Because I was saying, like, you guys did Bertha in Chicago. I know you did. I swear to God, you guys did.
I was gonna say, I don't think we've ever played Bertha.
100%.
Was it another Dead song? Could have been Mississippi.
It was Bertha.
Definitely played
Bertha. Hey, if it was Bertha to you, then that's all that matters.
Gentlemen. I swear to God, I bet it wasn't Bertha.
It wasn't.
I bet it fucking wasn't. I bet it was another Dead song. It had to be. Hold on.
It was either Mississippi or
Love Light. I think it was Mississippi.
No, it was Bertha. Do you guys,
a few Dead tunes.
What's that?
We do a few Dead tunes.
I like
Bertha's not one of them.
You know, when I said it to you, you were like, it definitely wasn't Bertha.
You seem very confident.
I know, and I saw it in your eyes.
Let me ask you, which app are you checking right now?
Nugs.
Nugs.
If I have fucking glasses on, I could do all of this. How long do you think you guys will do this for? Do you think you'll do this when you're fucking 60? Like the, do you think you guys have that? Could?
I mean, I'm doing it now.
I wish I had your fucking brain. Are you in therapy?
I've done. Yeah, I do.
How are you guys so even fucking keeled? Like, you know, you're supposed to be very fucked up, right? Like, I'm the fucked up one, and I've been doing it for 25 years.
You're just seeing, like, a little, glimpse of us right now.
Don't worry.
And yes, therapy.
Don't worry. We're fucked up.
My library. You ready for this? Goose, Riviera Theater. Motherfucker. Mississippi House.
Yeah, yeah. It's all right.
Motherfucker. So that was the song. It was a really cool introduction to... for my daughter to understand what, for lack of better words, a jam band is that all of a sudden it's a song bleeding into another song where all of a sudden you recognize the song. It's a little bit like getting the Christmas present you wanted, where you go, wait, who told you I wanted a Game Boy? Yeah, holy shit. Like, and then she goes, I know this. She hits me and she goes, I know this. I went, you've heard it in my car. This is the Dead. And she was like, wait, they wrote this. I go, no, this is the fun of this show. You guys really changed my oldest daughter the way she takes in music.
Wow.
She loved it. Isla, on the other hand, was at a Slipknot concert last night. She walked up, she goes, not my type of music, but it was a good job. I was like, Isla, what the fuck's wrong with you? She's like, what? I like Slipknot.
Yeah.
But she's obsessed with fucking Trevor.
Nice.
So then you do the stats. Do you text it? Do you guys already have your set list tonight?
No.
No?
No.
You're working on it?
We've got the plots.
Don't tell me. I like being surprised.
We ran the stats.
You ran the stats.
We did that, but we didn't put the.
Some light tinkering.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
How do you do an intermission tonight?
Intermission. Yeah.
So how long is the show? Is there a band opening?
No.
I like that's a gangster move. What time do you guys walk on stage?
Like 7:45, maybe something. Yeah. Like that.
I'm just smoking weed tonight. I'm just smoking weed, no booze. I'm working on a thing called intrinsic value. I think something your parents gave you as a child. I did not get it. It's where you feel value in just being you.
Nice.
Yeah, but you got to build it. Like, you can't just get it. You got to like do shit.
You can lose
that. That's cool.
You can lose it.
You can lose it. You can get it and then lose it and then get it back. Yeah.
Have your parents seen you perform?
Have they seen me perform? Yeah. My mom was here last night.
Your mom was here last night? Is she here tonight?
She's here tonight, yeah.
Can I meet her?
Absolutely.
I want to fucking meet this.
Yeah, lady. You got it.
She seems like a really cool chick. What are your parents?
She's the coolest.
Wait, how old is she? She got a sister, a daughter, 10 years older than you, I can guess.
Yeah, mid 60s.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Smoke weed?
No. She's like fucking with some gummies, maybe. And she came down to Mexico earlier this year. She was like, she asked me for a gummy and. Like I asked a couple of our guys, and they're like, I don't have any hominy. And then someone was walking by on the beach, was like, oh, here. And I was like, oh, man, here, this gummy is from some guy on the beach. And she ate it, and she was toast.
Oh,
she couldn't get up in the middle of the night, and saw her the next day, her hair was all fucked up. She was like, man, that was kind of crazy. That was a lot.
Yeah, I was going to eat edible tonight, but then I was like, I just would rather enjoy the show.
That shit could be pretty strong.
What was the last show you guys saw?
Last show?
Like you went and watched and you sat in the audience and was like...
I saw Dave Chappelle recently.
Where did you see him?
Nebraska. We had a day off in Omaha expecting nothing and Dave Chappelle was like less than a half a mile away from us that night.
So you guys went?
Yeah.
Bought tickets or called the promoter?
We had our agent.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did you guys meet Dave?
Call him in.
No. No.
Oh, you should have. No. He is everything you want him to be.
Yeah.
He is everything.
Yeah.
He is the fucking best.
Yeah.
Like, fucking, you have a good time?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. Donnell Rollins opened for him? Other black dude in the suit looks like he's 103.
We got there in the middle of it, but he was funny. What I heard.
Yeah,
he's funny.
It's pretty cool. Do you? This is more a question probably for Peter, but like, so one of my favorite things is tonight is getting here a little early, checking out your merch booth. I told you this last time. Right. I love doing the analytics of a show, seeing where you set up your merch booth, seeing what merch you have, what moves, talking to the people that are selling. I love that shit.
Right,
it's my favorite thing in this. You know, of this, and then
talk to Naveed.
What's that?
Talk to Naveed.
Yeah, our merch guy's a legend.
Yeah, it's the coolest part of being in a like, I went and watched Metallica, and I was like, how do you find a way to sell a weekend pass? Because they sell, like, they do two shows, no two songs are the same, right. And then they sell the weekend pass. All your fans, I would say you sold 8,000 tickets. 8,000 people bought two nights, in my opinion. So many people are coming both nights.
Right.
That's so fucking valuable. That speaks such volumes to how much you connect with your fans. And you don't, I mean this respectfully, I don't think you try. I think you just are yourselves and we fucking like you. It's a really cool thing. You guys aren't trying to sell us anything. You're just doing your fucking thing and it connects with us.
That's what we want you to think. It's working. Perfect.
I'm going to get you guys out of here. I know you have sound check soon.
Well, thanks, man. That's a nice compliment.
No, I can't.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm bringing four people who just got into you guys over the last couple months and are now obsessed with you. Today, they're playing at the coffee shop. They're playing Goose at the coffee shop at the by we're playing. And my buddy Keith, who lives in Aspen, goes, hey, this is Goose right here. I said, when? He goes, this is Arcadia. And I went, oh, so you're like legit listening. He goes, fuck yeah. He goes, I've brought, every time I bring him up, I'm like so excited for the journey you guys are on because I've seen people blow up, but I've never seen something. Like Chappelle is the only thing as undeniable as you guys, in my opinion. Where you go, you got to check him out. And no one's like,
dude, that's crazy.
Dude, you're throwing out some serious,
you're talking crazy
serious
right
compliments.
I'm older than you guys. And I've the Shane Gillis, perfect example. Do you guys know who Shane Gillis is?
I know that name, but
he just had a special on Netflix. And I'll tell you right now, if you watch it, he'll be your new favorite comic. He will be your new favorite comic. But there's a thing that when you see it from the other side, I played baseball with a guy named Brad Radke. And as we were kids, he went pro. Everyone was like, he's going pro.
Right.
And I was like, I remember saying to my dad, how come no one says that about me? And my dad just very blatantly was like, you're not that good. he's like, he's just better. Yeah. And it's something, you know, like I said the same thing about Wilco. It's like, I love, do you guys like Wilco at all?
I've never dug deep.
Yeah.
And it's like on my list of things.
Jeff Tweedy was a tragic character. That's what made me fall in love with him.
Really?
He's good now. But when they did I'm Trying to Break Your Heart, which I think was the movie, the documentary about them getting their album
back. I've seen a good portion of that and I was really compelled and I just never dug back in.
He was in the throes of heroin addiction.
Yeah.
And it was like, and for whatever reason, I find that sexy.
And there was that other dude who was just like a lot.
That would have been me if I was in a band. he was a lot. He's dead now. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He was really tragic.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But he was responsible. I mean, he was a very creative. And that's the hard part that you guys deal with is like, I'm sure as things get bigger, people have bigger wants. People have bigger needs. I talked to Slash one time from Guns N' Roses. And I said, what happened to Guns N' Roses? And we were drinking in my green room. And at like 6 in the morning, he was like, very casually, he goes, we weren't millionaires when we met. And he was like, we just became different millionaires.
Mm.
And I was like, wow, that's a really, it happens in comedy. We never, all of us met broke open micers. And then we all became millionaires. And now me and Tom Segura is my partner in everything almost, we're very different millionaires. That's a weird statement to say, but like,
it's real shit.
It's, yeah, you just like, he likes Ozempic and steroids, and I like to be real. What questions didn't I ask you guys?
Oh my God.
What questions do you think? Like, where have I dropped the ball in this interview?
I don't know, man.
I don't know. It's pretty good.
How many like podcasts have you done?
Not many.
Baker's Dozen.
Yeah.
I don't
know. Yeah, probably between 10 and 20, I would say. Yeah, varying.
Do you listen to podcasts on the road?
Occasionally. Haven't recently, but I was like really into Jay Shetty's podcast.
Jay Shetty?
Yeah.
How do I know Jay Shetty?
It's like the number one health and wellness
Jay Shetty,
podcast.
He's a guru, like a wellness dude.
Yeah, he's really good at interviewing, and he's got like some really compelling guests, and it's like, it's a good podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm into history. If you like those, have you listened to Lex Fridman?
Is that history stuff?
What?
History stuff?
Oh, do you like history?
I've been like wanting to like get into...
People at Noiser, you're welcome. There's a pod there. I'm gonna turn you on. It's Noiser. That is the...
Noise Room?
Noiser. Noiser. And they are the umbrella that has This Day in History, This Week in History, The Dictators... I Can't Believe I Survived. Like, they've got a group of great...
Cool.
Every day they do a new thing about history. And right now, I'm obsessed with going on YouTube and listening to documentaries about the state I'm in. So, like, we were in Florida, and I listened to everything of how they developed Florida. Flagler versus HB Plant versus the Florida Crackers, which was the Cowboys of the time. Like, that shit fascinates me.
That's really interesting.
And I downloaded one about Colorado last night. And so on the bus, I get into my room and I put it on the speaker and I listen to it while I sleep. I used to be in a bunk too. And I just put my phone and just listen to history podcasts. Turkmenbashi. Do you know what that is? That's the podcast that's going to blow your mind. You guys should all listen to it. It's on the dictators. It's about this guy who got control of this area in the old Soviet Union. Soviet Union falls apart, and this guy, they just have this one part that's an oil producer, and they're like, no one's paying attention. Fuck it. I'm the new dictator. And he didn't like how old he was getting, so he added a month. Like, this guy's a fucking lunatic. Wow. He was like, fucking throw another month in there. Let's all stay young, right? And so, like, he was a lunatic. He was like, you know, old people are losing their teeth. Dogs don't lose their teeth. From now on, old people eat bones. And they're like, huh? And he's like, eat the fucking bones. And they're like, What comics do you guys like? Chappelle.
We were just at the Comedy Store Cellar.
Right. Someone told me you guys went to the Comedy
Store.
We
got to see Neil Brennan for the second time there.
Wow.
Amazing.
Yeah, Neil Brennan is fucking, he is a really hilarious dude and a really insightful dude. Yeah. He would have given you guys a great interview.
Yeah. Well, we're down. Let him know.
He told a really funny joke about like people like going on stage late. And like doing encores and like how it's just like ridiculous and no one should do it. He's like, next time a band does an encore, just leave. Fucking get out of there. The band left, you leave.
Rick, new thing. You missed it because you were late.
But you guys don't do encores.
No, we do.
We do.
You do?
Yeah.
Are you going to do one tonight?
Oh, we'll see.
Okay.
It's a surprise. We're going to walk off and maybe we won't walk back on.
Yeah, Metallica did not do an encore.
Huh?
Metallica didn't do an encore.
Yeah, I think it's so badass when you don't.
I tell the machine every time at the end of it, my show. And one time I tried to do it as an encore and they left. And I was like, it was at a drive-in movie theater. It was during the pandemic. And I was like, all right, that's my time. And everyone's like, the machine. I was like, I'll wait for it. And then all the headlights went on and I was like, fuck. And I ran back out. They're like, oh, okay. Yeah. So I'm not, comedy encores are tougher. Because when you do leave the stage.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
No, it originated as a thing that, like, you know, people were flipping out and then, like, they really needed you to come back out because they just needed more. Yeah. Now it's just, like, this expected thing. So.
So what's the rest of your day look like? Naps?
Possibly.
I fuck with naps.
Sound check a little bit.
Naps, I fuck big with naps. Times. Yeah. Dude, a bunk nap is the best fucking thing. In the world.
They're pretty tight.
There's a moment when you close that curtain and it's pitch black and it's ice cold and you get in your blanket and you go, woo, woo.
You're not wrong.
Yeah. Working out today?
You know.
Probably go for a walk.
Because you guys are fucking jacked. Did you see you posted the picture. Did you see my comment?
No, what was it?
Oh, I don't even know anymore. But it was like, you guys were all fucking ripped playing like
the
Ultimate.
Frisbee?
That wasn't me. It wasn't the whole band. it was a bald bearded photographer that replaced me.
Nice.
And Naveed, our merch guy.
You guys were fucking yoked. Do you guys work out today?
I didn't today.
I'll like tap in a little bit. I do little things here and there. I don't go like hard in the paint for like an hour and a half. I kind of just do shit throughout the day.
I get here early. This is my ritual at Red Rocks. I get here early. I walk the stairs and then I do a kettlebell workout on the stage.
That's tight.
Like a kettlebell weightlifting workout, like an AMRAP.
You run up the stairs?
Yeah.
That's badass.
Yeah, it's walking is really difficult just to walk the stairs.
It's tough. Dude.
My assistant Peter ran the stairs the last time he was here. And we walked the stairs and we did 10 push-ups every 10 steps, I think.
Nice.
And that's so tight. You bang out 10 or maybe 20. We were doing 100 push-ups a day.
That's a lot of push-ups.
Yeah, we do. Last year around this time, we decided to do 100 push-ups a day. Me, Rogan, Tom, and this guy, Ari. And we did 100 push-ups a day. And we've kind of just stuck with it. Mm. And it's really great to be able to bang out 100 push-ups in like 10 minutes. You do 20, 20, 20, 20. But it's interesting because you guys are so young. I bet you just rebound and you feel good all the time. When you get older,
negative.
Yeah, it's not the case.
Really?
Negative. Oh, yeah. I mean, I do physical therapy every day.
That's right. You're very physical.
Like, I have my arm in an ice bucket. We play a lot of music. It's a lot.
Yeah.
Like a three-hour show.
Oh, yeah. I guess I'm just standing there. I guess you guys are extremely physical.
You're doing more than just standing there, but yeah, it's pretty physical.
How do you keep your fingers? I tried to light a joint on stage, and I couldn't last night. How do you keep your fingers?
You have your tech run out and light it for you.
No, I meant when you're playing music and it's cold. Do you notice it?
Yeah. Sometimes. It gets tough. Yeah, last night was a little cold. Definitely by the end of the night, it was, you know, feeling a little stiffness.
Yeah.
When you get in the flow, your energy's flowing, like you generate heat.
Yeah.
And it kind of gets
the core warm.
Once you get going, it's fine.
Do you guys buy anything on the road? I always buy knives.
Knives?
I buy knives. I buy a ridiculous amount of knives.
What kind of knives?
Dude, it's just something fun that you look at and you go, like, what kind of knives? That's a really great question in Colorado. Does anyone know what kind of knife? Spyderco. They're in Golden, Colorado. It's the best fucking knife you'll ever
need. Official sponsor of this podcast?
I'll call the guys at Spyderco.
They're about to be.
Can you reach out to Spyderco, Pete? See if they'll drop off some knives for the band tonight?
Knives are sick.
Dude, they're great knives. They're really great knives. And it's the only knife you'll ever really need. And they're out of Golden, Colorado. But I'm sure I have a knife in my pocket right now. But I love collecting. I love finding something.
Yeah.
Right.
To be into. Like something to give yourself some meaning to a day of I wanted, I don't know if I have, oh yeah. I wanted, because of Elvis, I wanted a horseshoe ring.
What other Elvis songs do you like?
Hold on. Can I just,
let's
talk this about is Elvis. The fucking, this is, does everyone know that song? Never been to Spain. So we're at a fucking bar in somewhere. It was a great strip club across the street. We're strip club purveyors. And they take us to this nice restaurant after the show. You sell at the arena, take it to dinner. So we go, and there's this fucking karaoke on the piano. They're playing the piano. Like, you want to sing a song? I said, I've never been to Spain. My voice is fine at the time. And there was 8 people in this fucking bar. And I blew my voice out, and I ruined it. And I have been struggling to get it back ever since that day. Because when I told everyone I was from Oklahoma, I fucking let them know. And now I'm stuck doing vocal warm-ups like a fucking, every time I have to blow in a straw to loosen my voice up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's gotten bad. Do you do vocal warm-ups?
We do a thing before the show, yeah.
Wait, do you mind sharing?
Yeah, yeah.
What do you do?
Oh, there's like these recordings.
Oh, you just copy the recordings?
Yeah, yeah. There's like, it's weird. I don't know where they are, where they came from. Someone gave them to me. They're just like, you know, MP3s that were cut from, it was clearly recorded on a tape a long time ago. Some classical dude, a bunch of exercises. And then there's this other thing that we do.
Danu Fox.
Yeah, Danu Fox.
Single note saw.
It's like long drones. basically. Yeah. It's really nice.
Like
it's good for the
that you the can find on Spotify. Well.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
I'll send you the thing.
I do. I blow into a straw, and that massages my voice. And then
I've never done that.
And then I reached out to a young lady, a friend of mine, Jennifer Nettles, who's a singer, and she told me a very valuable lesson. You don't have to start at 100%. Get yourself warm on stage. And that I've been really good. At Red Rocks, I kind of fucked my voice up in bringing people on stage. Cause I was, you know, I bring everyone on stage for a picture. It's a big deal for us. Like you guys get to kind of like, real quick, let's wrap it up. Goals for Goose. Do we have a band goal? Is there anything you guys are like, have your eye on? Where you go, you know what would be cool? Like a Grammy or like nothing. I love you guys. How the fuck am I so uneven keeled?
No, there's like goals and stuff, aspirations and whatever. But, you know, I think the
more movies, you know, more videos.
More music, more songs.
Just making your own shit.
Yeah, just making shit. Stuff.
When's the next album? You guys just released, September, you just released an EP?
Yeah.
And then how's that, like, are albums this dare I say, are albums a thing of the past? Because right now people are releasing short things on the internet, comics. Could you just release songs every week?
We could, but like, fuck that.
The albums hit harder.
Albums
too,
are cool.
Still,
albums are bad.
Albums, you know, I feel like people creating an 45 minutes, an hour of music has been a thing for a long time. You know, it was, took different forms back in the day, but it's just it's a different, you tell a different story than within 45 minutes or an hour than you can with 3 minutes.
That's refreshing to hear you say that, because I argue that the comedy hour is the art form.
Right.
The hour is the art form. Can you hold attention for an hour?
Right.
Can you structure an hour in a way that you're not just dumping out all your jokes, you're telling them a story for an hour and they're engaged?
I have a question about that. Please. Do you do the same basic show every night on a tour?
No.
So you're changing it up.
Yes.
So you're a jam band.
I would argue I have huge jam band influences. And it is what I enjoy.
Do you plan that out?
Like, no.
You just go up there with the stuff in your head? Or do you
have an idea of what I want to say? I have things I'm working on.
Yeah.
And in working on them, I kind of am jamming with them a little bit.
Sure.
It's really fun. I wish you could experience it with me. I wish I could bring you on stage.
There's a bit of improv.
The problem is it can become gluttonous. I'm certain you probably understand that feeling of like, at what point are you playing for yourself? At what point are you playing for the audience? Mm-hmm. Sometimes you, as a comic, you can feel it becoming like, you go, I gotta bring it back to something. Right. I need to. And so, but that's the fun part I'm in right now, is that I did an hour 45 here the other night.
Wow.
And so I'll do an hour. I think I did 2 hours here. I did an hour 45.
Yeah,
but I have a bunch of shit. And so I like to empty the boat and I like to take a story and see if I can find a way. It's really fun to fucking meddle with it. It's got to be like, I guess, kind of writing a song.
Yeah, it's like you have a structure and then you can kind of like, I mean, with us, it's like the improv sections. It's like, oh, we'll see what this goes tonight kind of thing.
Yeah. Do you have nights that you're just really tuned in and the nights you're not tuned in?
Definitely.
Yeah, for sure.
I take exogenous ketones before I go on stage. I will just tell you this. Nice. And they fucking dial me in. I've also haven't drank in a while. So I think that might be it. And I find that if I smoke weed in the middle of my set, that I'm allowed to really untether from the boat. And
freshly toasted.
Freshly toasted.
What is it you said you take before you play?
Exogenous ketones.
What is that?
I'm doing a ketosis diet. So I'm only eating protein and greens. And exogenous ketones are kind of like, there's one company we really like. Do you know the name of them? Ketone IQ. Yeah. They're it's almost like a 12-hour energy, but without any sugar, without the caffeine. It's just, it kicks your body into ketosis. And man, I take one before I go on stage and I am so dialed in and I'm talking cleaner, crisper. I'm thinking clearer. They say a ketosis diet with the fats helps your brain better. You'd have to try it for yourself, but the fats help your brain think. And so I'm like, I'm fucking there.
Is that something that's effective if you're not On the keto diet?
Yeah, yeah, I think so. Wow. Yeah, I wouldn't want to give it to you guys tonight before you play, but I'll drop off some tonight. We have boxes, or I'll have some sent to you guys on tour. I want to send you guys a gift bag of the shit I fuck with on tour. Like a kettlebell setup.
Like 15 pounds of weed.
Have you guys gotten drop-offs from, did you get drop-off last night?
Most venues this tour have been pretty generous.
That's crazy. It's pretty sweet. What's something you want dropped off that no one drops off? Let's put it in the universe.
Kettlebells sound pretty sick.
I got you.
It's the unique gifts that stand out. We get a lot of bottles and a lot of cakes, which are cool. You know, we appreciate it, but the unique gifts are the cool ones. Like a custom engraved, like Louisville Slugger from selling out the show in Louisville, something like that.
Yeah, keep that by my bed now.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are cool.
They bring a juicer to catering.
I like juicers at catering. Yeah. I love a panini.
Got a joint in my backpack.
I got these great joints. I don't even know how big I got. Oh, look at how fucking beautiful this joint is. This is what I've been smoking lately.
It's a cannon.
It's a cannon. This is Joey Diaz's weed. I would. Yeah, this is.
Nice little
I'm going to smoke that tonight here. I hope I can. I think I can. I think it's hard to get kicked out here.
I think you're good.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to let you guys go, but I don't want to leave you guys. But I'll see you tonight.
Sounds good.
I'm going to go home.
I'll see you in 5 minutes when this podcast is over.
Yeah, I'll see you in 5 minutes. Hey, gentlemen, sincerely, I get this said to me a lot. And sometimes it falls on deaf ears. Sometimes you're in the middle of going places and you don't realize it. Your buddy Ethan said it to me last night. All your hard work pays off in that you bring so much joy to me, my family, my wife, everyone I introduce you to. Please keep it up. Please, whenever anything gets tough, remember that the shit you do is bigger than you, and we really love it. We really love it as fans. And when you're having a shitty day, you guys come on my car, and I smile, and I think traffic's not that fucking bad. It's not getting worse than this, and it just got a little better. And you get so please, thank you for what you do.
Thanks keep for what you do, man.
That means so much, man.
And right back at you with all that.
Yeah.
And when you guys do the next album, I'm going to come out for one day as inspiration. And I'm going to just come out and fuck your day up so that you guys have, and then you guys will just one day.
See what happens.
Yeah, and when I get ready to do my hour, I'm going to have you guys come fuck with me and watch my set and go, throw these 5 words in there and it'll make my set so much better. Thank you guys. Have a great show tonight.
Thanks a lot,
Bert. Thank you.
Thanks for having us.